everybody. I'm Matt, and we're going to get into it again today. And this is the Micah's Call podcast, micahscall.org. And, you know, this is where we explore the complexities of faith and life through the lens of, well, the Bible. And we're trying not to rush our way through it. I'm Matt, and in today's episode, right, we're going to just get in the truck and we're going to drive into the New Testament and probably one of the New Testament's most debated passages. It's Romans 13. What does it really tell us about Christians and political authority? I'm going to put this passage up on the website, on the blog. If you go there and check it out, you'll probably see Romans 13 on there at some point. But in Romans 13, Paul is advising Christians on our relationship with governing authorities. And he's urging them to be subject to those in power. Now, I know, at first glance, this might seem like an endorsement of absolute obedience to government, right? But today, I want to unpack with you this passage. Talk a little bit about the historical settings and kind of examine how this applies to us today in this very complicated world. So let's start by reading a little bit of Romans 13. Let's just start in 1 and 2, where it says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." That's pretty heavy, especially for somebody like myself who questions and challenges the government and challenges the legal system and challenges the courts and challenges Western philosophy. That's pretty heavy. Now, Paul wrote this in 57 AD. And in this letter to the Romans, who were all powerful and all knowing, right? In this letter to the Romans, Paul addresses Christians who were kind of living life under this Roman authoritarian rule. Unlike today's democratic norms that we see, the Roman Empire was a society with very complicated relationships to various religious groups, including the Christian community that came from Antioch. So early Christians and early Christians and modern theologians, they all grapple with these verses. Listen, the key is understanding the balance between obedience and the higher moral call of the gospel. So how did early Christians interpret the submission to authority? How can we, as people in today's world, kind of put this into context? Is it very different from when Paul wrote this in 57 AD? You see, so throughout centuries, Romans 13 has been interpreted in all sorts of different ways. Some have seen it as a mandate for this unquestioned loyalty to government. Hitler, the American politicians of today. Those are just a couple of examples. Others argue that it provides grounds for resistance when governments act unjustly. Well, from my perspective, in my understanding of this, submission to authority is not about blind obedience, but about critical engagement. And I'm sure there's a lot of Episcopals and Anglicans who would agree with me on this. We are called as Christians to ensure that government policies are aligned with the principles of three things: justice, mercy, equity, justice, mercy, and equity. And not just to do it blindly, do it the way that Jesus himself did it. Scholars like N.T. Wright suggest that Paul's message isn't a blanket endorsement of all government actions, but instead, it's a call to live peaceably within our means, promoting justice within the framework of government. Walter Wink further challenges us to question not just the laws, but the powers behind those laws. Question that. What is their real motive? They may sound like they're in alignment with Christ, but are they? What is their motive? Consider their motive. Is their motive to be in agreement with God? And to create a theocracy instead of a democracy? Or is their motive to try to just create a society where people can live according to their own agency, their own free will? That's tough. So how do we apply Romans 13? You ask. I hear you say that. How do I apply Romans 13? How do we put it into context with social justice, environmental advocacy, immigration, whatever? How does this all work? Well, I don't think you just lead into blind justice, and you don't just trust the people who say they want to govern you. You just don't. You make them prove it. You know, there's a funny thing about prayer, especially in politics. Prayer is like the news. You can pray about something. You can say, Lord, tell me who to vote for. But you could be convinced in your mind that candidate A is the greatest candidate to walk the earth. He's been sent by God. He professes God. He does all of these things and says all of this stuff. And you've convinced yourself of that. I guarantee you that's the answer you're going to feel in your heart. You're going to know in your soul that this is who I should vote for. Because your brain is looking for validation. Somewhere your brain is looking for validation. Be careful. Test that. You say, well, Matt, it's not right to test God. That's not necessarily of God. Okay? The people at Jonestown thought that was of God too. The Branch Davidians thought that was of God too. They convinced themselves, this is of God. We've prayed about it. This is of God. But you want it to be true so bad that the answer to your prayer gets clouded by your mind. Think about that. Consider the civil rights movement with me. Many Christian leaders, including MLK, they argued on Romans 13 that unjust laws were no laws at all. They drew their faith to challenge segregation. They illustrated nuances that really understood Paul's teachings here. My friends, Romans 13 invites us to a very complicated discernment of authority. Our response to it as Christians is laid out right here. This passage encourages responsible, critical, and active engagement with our leaders, and testing them and pushing them, and if so, pushing them out. It requires us to be anchored in our ultimate commitment to the gospel's call to justice and mercy, and really to peace, the way that Jesus did it. The way that Jesus did it, which was not autocratic. My friends, as we reflect on this, I want us to think about our actions. When you can take this week and advocate for just policies that may not necessarily be what you agree with in your brain, but you know they align with Christ. Think about how you can be a real faithful and critical citizen in your community and in your world, wherever it is you're listening to this. Think about Romans 13. Think about how you can challenge authority. Think about how you can challenge those people that are just writing this ticket to say they're of God. But are they? The message of Jesus was not, I am the greatest, vote for me. Look at me, I'm a Christian, vote for me. Well, I guess you could call those a sinno. Yeah, a Christian in name only. A sinno. Because ultimately, I think that's something they are going to have to be accountable for. When they used God and the love of Jesus to manipulate good people. Wow. Thanks for joining me here on Micah's Call, www.micahscall.org. I hope today's episode has really inspired you to think deeply about your role in society. And I hope that it's encouraged you to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Please don't forget to subscribe, because I hope these thoughtful discussions from an independent middle point of view helps you become closer to God. I'm Matt. We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot for joining me. Take care.